This is Dave Gloetz. Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Chicago Reader columnist Ben Jarofsky, who is on the phone with me. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you, sir.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in a Reader on May 5th, 2011, titled An Open Letter to Our Next School's Chief. That's the title in the print edition, and in the online edition, it's titled An Open Letter to Chicago Public Schools' Next CEO. This article is a letter from you to the incoming school superintendent, Jean-Claude Brizard, combined with a sort of civics lesson about tax increment financing and other things such as school board appointments. Let's start with tax increment financing and its effect on Chicago public schools. You estimate that tax increment financing districts, or TIF districts, divert about $250 million per year from the Chicago public schools budget. However, last year, the city of Chicago gave back about $180 million it had gotten from tax increment financing. How much of that do you think went back to CPS?
Well, roughly half. So $90 million went back to CPS. You know, I've always meant to, but I never have gotten around to calling CPS to ask what they did with the money.
I think some people have new cars.
I did not say that. David G. Gillette said it.
And you write that some of tax increment financing money actually goes back to CPS regularly, sort of, in the form of the city building new schools. Do you have any idea how much roughly that's worth?
The calculations show that CPS is losing on the venture. And I've had exchanges down through the years with various bureaucrats at the Board of Ed where, you know, off the record, they acknowledge, yes, this game does not actually work to our benefit in terms of dollars in, dollars out. We're losing money, it's true, but this is the system we live within, and so we have to play by the rules.
When you say it doesn't work to their benefit, do you mean just because there's more money, just the net, going out?
Give the TIFs more money than the TIFs give to them. As the TIFs should not even be used for public buildings. That's a subversion of what the whole program is intended to do. The fact that schools use TIF dollars to build new schools is another thing that's not in their long-term best interest.
Why?
Well, the TIF program, in its abstract, in its principle, is intended to invest public dollars into essentially private deals that will increase the amount of money the owners of those private deals pay the city in property taxes, or pay the county in property taxes, or pay the school system in property taxes. So if you're the chief of the Chicago Public Schools, in this case Mr. Brizard, who I presume knows nothing of any of this, you have to make a decision. Is it in our best interest to invest our property tax dollars into this particular development deal? And if they're looking at the numbers and look at how much dollars the land currently brings them in property tax dollars and how much they can assume they're going to make if the development deal works, then they say, okay, we will lend you, essentially, our property tax dollars so that you can develop this vacant lot in the notion that in a few years, the increase in property tax dollars that the lot pays will bring us more property tax dollars. So we'll not only pay back the money we gave you or lent you, but bring in more money. That is sort of the fiduciary responsibility of the Board of Education. If you take that money and build a school, you're not going to get any money back in property taxes. A school doesn't pay property taxes.
Let me ask you about that. How do the decisions of where and when to build schools differ, do you think, from when the city government does it because they're funding it through tax increment financing, as opposed to if that money was never diverted from the property taxes that CPS got and CPS funds the building out of its own budget?
I don't think that there's, you know, whether there's a TIF district in the area is a deciding factor of which community in general gets the schools. I think building new schools is largely a political matter, and particularly under Mayor Daley, I'm curious to see how it works under Mayor Emanuel. They were very astute politically, and they had to balance various needs. So, for instance, one of the needs they had to balance was the desire of middle-class parents, white, black, and Hispanic, but mainly white, to have more high-achieving high schools on the north side of Chicago that they could feel comfortable sending their high-achieving students to. And so there was a decision made to build two high schools on the north side, Walter Payton and Northside Prep, and in addition, convert a vocational school in the Loop, Jones Commercial, to a magnet school. So in those cases, TIF dollars were allocated to satisfy the political needs of middle class. And then there's the whole issue of the overcrowding on the southwest side and the Hispanic communities, where TIF dollars were used to build some grammar schools. And additionally, there's the needs of overcrowding on the northwest side, $10 used for grammar school. So, you know, they figure out what political needs they have to meet, and then they just divert whatever TIF dollars are available.
Speaking of political needs, you also mentioned in the article that unlike other locales in Chicago, the school board is appointed by the mayor, whereas elsewhere school boards are elected. And you, I guess, attribute part of the acquiescence of Chicago Public Schools in diverting property taxes from its budget to tax increment financing as a function of the school board being appointed by the mayor. If we had elected school board officials, you know, given the political climate of Illinois and sort of the American scheme of elections in which money plays such a big part, do you have any fears that if we had an elected school board, that the school board elections would somehow be infused with campaign cash and end up with a result that might be just as bad?
I presume, I work from the assumption that if we went to an elected school board, the mayor, be it Daley or Emanuel, would control the process, this being Chicago. So yes, I work from the assumption that most of the people elected would continue to the great tradition of rubber stamping whatever the all-powerful mayor wants. Now, there's always a possibility that one or two independent-minded people might get elected. You know, we have in the body of 50 at the city council at least one or two independent-minded folks. Can't think of them at the moment, but
Scotty Wagespeck.
Or if you go way back, and I won't do this at the moment, but when Daley came into office, there was a process set up for more of a parental choice or decision in who gets to be on the school board. Mayor Daley was very unsatisfied with that because there were school board members who dared to speak out against what the mayor wanted on a certain issue or not. So the move in 1995 to give the mayor complete control was an attempt to eradicate any sort of independent thought from school board.
I didn't realize that. So that was part of the local school council sort of package. That was a huge reform, right, of having community input and community control of local schools.
You and I both have lived through two quote-unquote reforms. And I hate to use that word, anything regarding Chicago, but the first one was to give local communities some say in the central office of the Board of Ed, and that was through the creation of local school councils, and it was the local school councils who had a nominating process where they nominated people that the mayor could choose from. Subsequently, they did away with that nominating process, and now the mayor just picks whoever he wants. And in this case, as I noted, Mayor Emanuel asked all the board members to resign, and they voluntarily did so, even though they had years left, or in some cases they had years left in their, you know, they don't even have the pretense of being an independent mind. They make it clear they serve at the request of the mayor. Frankly, I don't even know why we have them. We should just let the mayor run everything.
That's one way to do it.
Well, that's how we do it.
That's all we have time for, though. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, David.
This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to my interview with Ben Jarofsky. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for other interviews or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.